what's coming up now on Established in the Faith.
The Super Bowl last week in the stadium was full, $9,000 a ticket, to watch some old bag of wind get thrown across the football field and get excited. But yet on Sunday morning in God's church house, you don't see but just a handful of people there.
Hello, neighbor, and welcome today to Established in the Faith. This is Pastor James Pierce of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, and how so very pleased and happy we are to be with you today. Got a great message lined up for you. Hope you can stay with us for the next 30 minutes. If not, let me encourage you to go over to establishedinthefaith.com. There you can listen to today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. Well, we're going to go on into the message now. Hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you.
If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And I want to stop right there and use for a subject this morning, preaching a few minutes. Poverty in the midst of plenty. The time of our setting today is during the early years of the judges, probably during the judgeship of Othniel or Ehud. The place of our setting today is Bethlehem, Judah. It is stated this way by the Holy Spirit because there was another Bethlehem located within the tribe of Zebulun. But Bethlehem, Judah is probably one of the most important places in the world because of its biblical history. Bethlehem, Judah is the place where Jacob would bury his beloved wife, Rachel. Bethlehem, Judah was the birthplace of David, the sweet singer of Israel, who wrote over half the Psalms. One of the mightiest warriors in all of Israeli history, plus the second king of Israel. Bethlehem, Judah is the place where the angel sang peace on earth, goodwill toward men on the night that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. Bethlehem, Judah, its vast rolling pastures made it one of the most fertile places in all the world. Bethlehem, the name means house of bread. It was a place of plenty. But the Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, that there was a famine in the land. God allowed famines to come upon Israel because of their spiritual declension. He allowed the famine to come because he wanted it to draw his people back to him. And God does the same thing with you and I today. The Lord told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, he said, if I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, And if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And the place he was talking about was the temple. The temple in all of its detail in some way pointed to Christ and his finished work at Calvary. The temple was the center of all activity in Israel. But at the time of our setting today, the majority of the people in Israel had turned their backs on God. They were in survival mode instead of revival mode. Instead of going back to their roots, instead of turning back to God, being revived in the things of God, Israel went into survival mode. In other words, they went to look to other things to survive. You see, God uses famine, troublesome times, if you will, as a way, a means to draw us closer to Him. But Satan uses it as a means to draw us away from God. The choice is up to us. Are we going to go into survival mode, or are we going to go into revival mode? Survival mode looks to self in order to survive. Survival mode looks to the world, the ways of the world, the things of the world. Survival mode looks to the business model of the world to try to grow the church. Survival mode looks to man for answers. There is no answers in these means. The only answer is when we go into revival mode, when we turn and go back to the cross, the finished work of Christ, and we pray and we seek God's face, because God is the answer. He has the answer. I don't care if we are going through a time of famine and people are having to decide whether to put food on the table or buy the medications that they need. The past 4 years of this administration has been a disaster, ladies and gentlemen, and that's where we're at in our country today. We're going through a time of famine. But despite the times that we're going through, let me stand here and tell you for a fact, God will provide for His people who will stay true to His word and continue to seek His face and follow Him. Amen. The famine affected Bethlehem. The rich, fertile pastures that once lay green with crops now lay cracked and barren because of drought. Bethlehem, which means house of bread, there was no bread because of the famine. There was poverty in the midst of plenty. The United States of America has been blessed beyond any other nation on the face of this earth. And the reason for our blessings, ladies and gentlemen, is not because of certain political policies. The reason for our blessing is not because of our technological advancements. Our blessings in this country today is not because of our military might or power. The blessings in this nation is not because of our educational institutions. It's not because of our factories or anything that we produce, ladies and gentlemen. But the reasons for the blessings in this nation, ladies and gentlemen, is because this nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles. And the reason this nation is blessed the way that it is because of people who believe God, that are truly born again and spirit-filled and love God and support the true gospel of Jesus Christ and make the gospel our greatest export. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason why our nation is blessed to the extent that it is. But there is poverty today in the midst of plenty. There are less people going to church today than ever before since the whole COVID thing 4 years ago. People do not want to hear the truth. You could turn on the Super Bowl last week and the stadium was full, $9,000 a ticket, to watch some old bag of wind get thrown across the football field and get excited. But yet on Sunday morning in God's church house, you don't see but just a handful of people there. Poverty in the midst of plenty. There's plenty of people out there today. There's no excuse in the world. There's no reason in the world why God's house should not be full. But yet today we are experiencing poverty in the midst of plenty. And why is that? We have left the foundation of the Word of God. The church today wants to bring people in, but we don't want to address their sin because that's offensive to people. We want to tell them that God loves them, and we want to tell them about the cross, but we don't tell them how to apply the cross. Jesus died on Calvary because of your sin and my sin, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot sidestep the issue. Sin is an ugly thing, and it has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with. But in a lot of churches today, the sin issue is ignored altogether. We tell people how good they are. Well, they've just got a few little psychological defects. Or we'll just do away with that altogether, and we'll just begin to tell people that the gospel is a gospel of prosperity, and if you'll come and join our church, then God will bless you. Give us $1,000 and God will pay off your house. Money, money. Money gospel. Which is no gospel. There's only one prosperity gospel, ladies and gentlemen, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, who died on Calvary for your sins, ladies and gentlemen. He died for your sins, not so you could get a big bank account, not so you could drive a brand new Cadillac, not so you can have two houses and go down to the beach or up in the mountains every weekend, but Jesus Christ died on Calvary so you could go to heaven when you die, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason He died. Save you from hell. That's the reason Jesus Christ came in the world. Because you are a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. That's the reason Jesus came. And He came into this world because He loves you. He loves you, sir. He loves you, ma'am. He came into this world because of our sin. But there's a famine in our churches today. The message that I've just given you, that is the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. But there's a famine of the gospel in our churches today. It's a feel-good, man-centered gospel. It won't change anybody. Preachers that won't preach the truth. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to preach what the Word of God says. There will not be a famine at Friendship Church as long as I'm here, because I'm going to preach the Word of Almighty God. We might have a famine of people, but we will not have a famine as it pertains to the Word of God as long as I'm the pastor of Friendship Church. You say, well, Brother James, I'm going somewhere else. They got more people at the church down the road, Brother James. I'm going over there. The grass is greener over there, Brother James. Go ahead. Just because the grass is greener, my friend, that don't mean it's good. It could be a busted septic tank line. See, the church finds itself today in the same predicament as Elimelech did in the days of the judges. He was in survival mode instead of revival mode. Instead of going to God during the time of trouble, he turned to Moab. You think of that. He uprooted his whole family. He left everything he had ever known to go to Moab because he heard there was food down there. He heard he could get a better job down there. He thought the grass was greener. He left his inheritance. He left that which God had given to his forefathers and had been passed down from generation to generation. He left that which God gave to Israel, and he said, "This is my land. This is the place where God placed his name." And wherever God places his name, ladies and gentlemen, that is sacred. And to own a piece of that which God has placed his name and his stamp of approval on, ladies and gentlemen, is more valuable than anything in this world. It was his inheritance. But he gave it up. He didn't know what he had. The church today does not know what it has. We don't know what we have, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what God has to say about what he's given us in his word, because the cross of Christ today is so little preached and taught anymore. The land was so precious, God said in Numbers 36, verse 7, the inheritance of the children of Israel was not to be removed from tribe to tribe. Every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. He had an inheritance that was given to him by God, passed down from generation to generation, but he gave it all up. And that's the problem in much of the church today. We're giving up that which God has given us, and we're leaving the foundational truths of God's word because the grass is greener over there, and we've gone into survival mode instead of revival mode. We have an inheritance, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have an inheritance of heaven one day, ladies and gentlemen, but we've got a part of that inheritance right now in this life. We have the sweet Holy Spirit that's down on the inside of our hearts and lives. We have the presence of God within our hearts and lives today, ladies and gentlemen. That is our inheritance. But we're leaving that today. We're leaving the presence of God, our sweet inheritance. We're leaving the presence of God so that we can have the presence of people. Adopting the ways and the means of the world to try to grow the church. You see, Elimelech looked at his situation. "I got to feed my family." I mean, you can't fault a man for looking after his family. But there's nothing any more important than what God has given us and what God says in his word. And when we're faced with a decision to go with what God says and go against what God says, we're better off to be with what God says and be in the place that God has ordained us to be, rather than be over there where there's plenty. Let me give you a little history. when God brought judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire fell on that city. Lot and his wife and his two daughters were the only ones that got out. His wife looked back, and the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters, they went and stayed up in the mountains. His two daughters got Lot drunk one night and lay with him. Each of them did. And they had two children. Moab and the Ammonites, they were a result of incest, sin. And God said, you're to have no dealings with these people. You are not to fraternize with these people. You're not supposed to mess with these people. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The same thing God has told you and I as the church today. We're not to brush up with the world. We're not to entertain the world. We're not to have anything to do with the world. The only business we have in the world, ladies and gentlemen, is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is it. We're not to entertain the world. We're not to make the world happy. We're not to dance to the world. We're not to do anything relating to the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. God said in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even in their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. In verse 6, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity. Notice the terminology. All the days forever. And here Elimelech uprooted his whole family and moved down into Moab because he heard things was better over there. God allows famine to draw us closer to him. Satan wants to use it to pull us away from God. The choice is ours. God didn't make this man go down there. He made a choice. And then when he got down there, if the man was truly saved, I can go ahead and tell you, God the Holy Ghost dealt with him. God the Holy Ghost kept pulling at his heart, tugging at his heart. He knew he was in the wrong place. He knew where he needed to be. Bethlehem, Judah was the land of his inheritance. That was his foundation. That's where he needed to be. But the Bible says in Ruth 1 verse 2, latter part, that he continued there with his family. And he was there for 10 years despite the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the pulling and the drawing of the Holy Spirit. What are you telling me, Brother James? I'm telling you this. When you leave the foundation and you go the ways of the world and you go into survival mode instead of revival mode, you'll be there longer than you want to be. And it's hard to come out of it. The end result was not good, ladies and gentlemen. It was disastrous. Ruth chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons, they also died. Both of them did. When you leave the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, when we leave the foundation, the inheritance that God has given us, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When we leave that which God has given us, ladies and gentlemen, the end result will be death, and it's not pretty. Naomi is now in the prosperity of Moab, but she's destitute of what's really important. That's a picture of the modern church today. Listen to what Jesus said of the church in the last days. Revelation 3:17. He said, you say you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The church today finds itself in poverty in the midst of plenty. A lack of people in the church. Why is that? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 9:37. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. We're in a famine here in America. Our churches are empty today. Many of them are closing its doors but there's no sense in it. Poverty in the midst of plenty, there's no sense in it. Why? Because Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Church, it's time to get out of survival mode and get into revival mode and come back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Come back to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to come back to an old time altar and pray through until heaven touches your soul. It's time for the church to come back to the old paths, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the church to start getting a burden for lost souls. It's time for the church to open its mouth and start witnessing to others and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time for the preachers to get back to preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The program today has been a blessing to you, and you would like to have a free CD copy of this message, just give us a call or text us at 252-299-4234. You can also go to establishedinthefaith.com. There you will find today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. But perhaps you need someone to just talk to just pray with you about something. Again, just give us a call at 252-299-4234. This program is an outreach ministry of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, as well depends on the prayerful and generous financial support of listeners like you. To contact us or to contribute to this ministry, go to establishedinthefaith.com, click on the Donate tab. It's easy, and all donations are safe and secure through PayPal. You can also mail us at Established in the Faith, P.O. Box 601, Bailey, North Carolina, 27807. We look forward to hearing from you.
I'm Haven.
And I'm Juliana.
And you've been listening to Established in the Faith with our dad, James Pierce. He's the pastor of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina.
That's right, girls. And every Sunday morning we have Sunday school starting at 9 o'clock and worship service at 10, as well as Bible study and prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All of these services are broadcast to the parking lot for those of you who wish to participate drive-in style.
And the church is located at 744 Friendship Church Road in Middlesex, North Carolina, near the EMED community. On the website, if you click on the Contact Us tab, Google Maps will bring you right to us. We would love to have you, and we hope to see you there.
And we hope today's program has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.